Okay, we've got a whole bunch of people on the call now, so I guess we should put down.
We should get started.
Especially because Todd can only be with us for 45 minutes. So let us take the roll call. I have Ken McCloskey, Terry Longstreth, Michael Gruninger, Todd Schneider, Tim Darr, Bob Smith, and did I miss someone? Mike Bennett.
Mike Bennett here. Yep, I'm on Skype, so my number's probably a bit mysterious.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, that matches. Yeah, 8 people on the call. Yeah, great turnout. So I just added everyone to the list. If you refresh the page, could go on. And I had this agenda suggestion on the announcement. Say any addition, changes, and so on that one want to add to the agenda. Of course, it's probably a longer agenda than we can cover, but we can go from the top down. No? Then we have, for those who are newer, we have a list called the critical task list. Now, I'm now at item number 3. If people could sort of open the tab or a window to that. And one of the standing items for this monthly call is to review that. We usually skip over because, I mean, these things are fairly stable and maybe we are more conscious in reviewing that at the beginning of the year or mid-year or something. So this is mid-year, and we haven't been going through these for a long time. So I actually would like for today's meeting, especially now that we've got a good turnout, fairly good turnout, to go through and review priorities. One of my personal concern is that we started in 2008, and now 4.5 years later, we're 4.5 years, nobody's life depends on this work. I mean, life, not life and death, but work life. If we are more relevant, at least somebody would wake up, go to work, and work on this. I mean, or uses some of the tools we make, or uploads their ontology to an OR and so on, which has not happened. So while we can be happy that we still have a team, we should be asking fairly hard questions as to what is stopping us from being more relevant, or maybe more successful, or maybe doing things that we were set out to do. I don't quite think we are there yet. So on that note, let's open up for discussion, and again, please document your own items onto the chat, and make that sort of part of the record of the meeting.
What is our definitive critical task list?
Where?
Is that the link that you have there, the reference?
Yes, yes, just click on the link. Open a different tab because you still want for this meeting.
So it's 3CZC.
Yeah, 3CZC. So Charlie Zebra Charlie.
Okay. One issue that has come up now and again, but I don't know, somehow it never really gets, you know, developed in any way, is the OOR for I mean, OOR as integrated into applications. So, I mean, if at the moment it's just this repository we replace these ontologies. But then, you know, then what do you do with those? So they're clearly we want them used, and if they're you know, as they get used, then it'll start to seem, you know, more relevant and more important that they be there.
Well, there's another perspective in that maybe the need isn't there yet, or people don't perceive the need as being there yet because there are workarounds.
Yeah, well, and in fact, I don't think we have a use case for that.
For which now?
The idea is, you know, we have use cases for, you know, putting an ontology in, for updating an ontology, for, you know, viewing ontologies, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what about using the ontology?
Well, that was a presumption we made, that people need to use these things and they want to be able to find them easily and so on, and hence that's why we have to do this stuff.
Well, no, that's the presumption, but I mean, how is the use, how is the OOR involved in actually using an ontology in an application? Is it just you download the ontology and that's it? I mean, you're not really connected with the OOR anymore? If that's the case, why, you know, what, couldn't you just put the ontology, you know, just on some site?
Which people are doing.
Right, that's the workaround that people have.
Yeah, again, I guess there's not sufficient critical mass of ontologies that people are using so many of them in their particular needs or applications that the necessity of having such a capability as OOR isn't there yet. On the other hand, of course, it then suggests a new use case. How can you integrate this more easily? But more importantly, why would you need to integrate OOR into an application?
Well, take, for example, Go. And that's one of the most popular ontologies out there. And it is constantly being updated. So it's a work in progress. And people use it for work in...
Yes. And I think...
In biology and medicine.
One of the defining characteristics of Go, or one of its huge attributes, is that it is so large, and it does have a large user community.
Yeah, but more importantly, it's actually something that gets used on a day-to-day basis by people, and they always want the most current version.
Oh, I know, but why does it get used? Because it has a lot of useful information that people need. So I realize there's a self-dependency in there. Or recursive aspects.
Well, doesn't this depend on one of the things that we're still struggling with, particularly among the technical community, which is what is an ontology for? So we all see that there is value in having common shared meanings and that this is a way to inform technology developments. In addition, there are semantic web applications. It'd be interesting to know with the Go ontology whether it's being plugged directly into RDF-based web applications or whether it's being used as a common point of business reference, because I think in many communities it's still a struggle to get the technical people to understand the value of common shared semantics, and that to me is one of the benefits of having an ontology repository. It's a very difficult benefit to explain to technical people.
Well, I don't know to technical people, but people with the money might pay for having such a capability. But of course, I mean, that goes back to the overall use of semantic technologies and their uptake overall, which has still been very slow.
Yes, that's my point.
Yeah.
Yeah, could someone document that? Because, I mean, that's sort of fairly fundamental. If people don't perceive the need for an ontology, they much less need for an open ontology repository.
I just have questions on the chat.
Yeah, so I mean the market isn't there yet from a business perspective. So subsequently there are workarounds that people can use for those that are interested in doing it.
Well, to some extent it's a chicken and egg aspect.
So what
I hear from people in industry.
Can I interrupt? Can I interrupt a little bit? Can either you or Mike, probably Ken, you might have a loose connection, so it's introducing a lot of scratch sound into the into the line. So can you take a look?
I might have to switch to another phone.
Yes, yes, if you please.
Okay, well, I'm going to be offline for a second, okay?
We'll wait. Sorry, it wasn't you, Mike. I mean, if anything, it would have been Todd, because we only Todd and Ken's lines were making sound, and I wasn't sure which one introduced the scratching sound. So, gives us a moment to document what was discussed just now. I think it's useful.
I'm just
playing the devil's advocate. I mean, things aren't really that bad. Oh, while we have a chance, Bob Smith, welcome. I believe everyone else except for you are on the chat. So, Bob, if you can hear me, right below on the session page, right below the dial-in information, there's an in-session chat room link. If you open a tab or open a window to that, you will be able to join us on the chat.
Thank you, Peter.
Hi, is that better?
It's better now. It's scratchy. Oh, it's still scratchy.
Funny. That is.
But
do you want a cell phone, Ken?
I'm using a cell phone.
But stopped. Don't move.
It's stopped now. Maybe if you try to, can you get to mute fairly conveniently? Or you can use *6 mute. If you're not speaking, if you mute, then it might be helpful.
Yeah, but I wanted to speak first.
Yeah, but when you speak, of course, speak.
Yeah, I was looking at there's a chicken and egg thing here. I often hear from people in industry that they're really interested in ontologies. They'd love to use them, but they don't really feel that the ones that are out there are very stable. So here there's, you know, as soon as you get something like the OOR, then it looks like people may be interested in getting, building their applications based on it. But then, you know, it's hard to convince people, you know, to work on the OOR because there aren't a lot of applications out there. You see what I mean? They kind of depend on each other.
Yeah. But think of it this way. We're ahead of the curve.
I think we definitely are. Not bad overall.
That just sort of leads up to the question of that I wanted to mention as a possible task for us, which is this issue of finding the use cases for application of an ontology. So if we have, you know, a number of examples of ontologies, you know, like Go, for example, certainly has plenty of applications, you know, that are built on it. If we have that sort of thing, then I think it might be, you know, easier to convince people that the OR is really needed. And ontologies, for that matter, are really needed.
Exactly right. So, Ken, could you capture that also? On the chat?
Or?
Okay. On the chat, if you please. So Michael, your point is valid. Would you make that verbally? And
yeah. So I think that there are other parts of the ontology community, little silos within the ontology community that we might want to engage a little bit more. I mean, there are workshops and competitions on ontology mapping. There are workshops. There's a workshop coming up at the next Semantic Web Conference in Boston in the fall on ontology patterns. It would be great if we could engage those little tiny silos within the community, the academic community, to a greater degree, in the sense that we provide a lot of the material that they can use for mappings. It kind of feeds back into the different kinds of capabilities we want to have in the repository, be able to explicitly represent relationships, et cetera, to be able to use the repository as a set of benchmarks for either ontology mapping competitions or just to be able to compare different approaches. Similarly, I think within the standards community, as we've heard from like Mike Bennett in the past, a lot of the work is not just, here is the standard we're developing, but the questions will also be, how are these related to other existing standards and other existing kinds of technologies? And by kind of incorporating the ontologies related to standards within the OR, we can help with that harmonization process or harmonization development, like, or whatever. So if we can kind of identify some of the key players in these other smaller areas, maybe we can tell a better, a more engaging story to help them and to help us in a win-win situation.
Yeah, I totally agree. And maybe within our critical task, we could systematically organize ourselves to address that. Let's say for academic communities and the vehicle is publishing paper or getting accepted to present. So maybe we could systematically target those workshops and conferences and make sure all our shows up there or something like that. I mean, obviously, that's not even one of the seven critical tasks at hand that we have listed. So those are definitely, things we could do. One other thing is, the relevance thing. The Ontology Summit actually did sort of lead the way in the big system, big data thing. And if you look around, the whole landscape is now big data, data-driven world challenges, and so on. I was at the Open Government Data Conference the last few days, and interestingly enough, the U.S. government has set up a whole program for pushing out challenges, and up to now already like 183 or whatever. I mean, it's not a small number, not one or two, but over 100, maybe close to 200 challenges are out there giving out, anywhere from thousands of dollars to over $1 million to get sort of challenges type competition out to the community, and we are not playing in those or not driving those, whatever. I think we need to be around there, especially ontologies and ontology repository definitely has some value to contribute to that whole scenario.
Hey, Peter?
Yes.
I want to go back to the market share issue again, or if you like, market need. It just occurred to me that if and I guess this might get to Michael's point, if those who might need use of or the capabilities provided by OOR are working in the public space or in the academic space where they're not concerned with intellectual property to a large extent, then existing OOR instances that are publicly available should be fine with them. But for everyone else who is concerned with IP or other money issues associated with ontologies, they certainly would not be interested in using or making use of an open instance of OOR.
But OOR by decree, I mean by design, already caters for closed versions.
Yes,
of,
I know, but
of ontology repository. So it's allow me to finish.
This has to do with marketing. Doesn't have to do with capabilities or the design. The point I'm trying to make is, in terms of market share, we may not be addressing those people who could benefit from having it, and they'd want to use it in-house, if you like, but don't know about it. Or maybe I'm missing something there.
Yeah, I mean, you're correct. I mean, not knowing we exist definitely is it. And this, the other thing is, despite the good intentions, a lot of things we hope we could do are not in place. For example, we would want to have the capability for an open instance to federate with a closed instance. But federation is not in place quite yet. I mean, it's not like we already have that and people just don't know the tools are already available. It's for real that the tools aren't available yet. They are available by design, maybe at least intentionally there, but physically we're not there yet. So talking about federation, I noticed Mike Dean is online now.
Hi, everyone. Yes.
Hi. So, you want to chime in?
I don't think I really have anything to add at this point.
Cool. So, Tim Dar.
Yeah.
You're online too. So you have been I think you could play a very educated observer role and maybe throw some light into this discussion, Tim.
I agree with most of what people are saying. It's really kind of a chicken and egg problem, right? You need to get that critical mass for having, providing value, but you don't get the value until you get the critical mass. So, I mean, we're not looking necessarily, we're not really interested in kind of the big picture, big view of, out there on the internet somewhere having the OR, but something a lot more limited for a given project or a smaller community.
True. So back to my original sort of opening statement, nobody, I mean, not even one. So it's like, I mean, if one opens a startup, your first customer is very important. We actually don't even have a first customer. If we take all ourselves out, I mean, we are, of course, part of it, and Calore people, I mean, would be doing Calore day in, day out, I mean, BioPortal is successful in that sense, in that, because of its funder, because of its participation, there are people who wakes up and use BioPortal, I mean, during his or her work day. But if you take BioPortal out of that whole mix of OOR instances, no one else has an instance that other people's work life would depend on now. And of course, BioPortal and most of the rest of us are slightly different in terms of scale. Maybe not in scope, but definitely by scale. For those who don't realize, the BioPortal gets funded to the tune of like $37 million for the first 10 years. So
are you suggesting we find a particular domain and focus on that domain, Peter?
I'm not suggesting anything. I'm suggesting we discuss and then with this backdrop reshape our sort of priorities and critical task list to fine-tune how we're going in the next 6 months or in the next year or so, capitalizing what is most exciting in the landscape. I mean, we throw out a possibility with the joint data.gov session by saying since they have got hundreds of thousands, 450,000 data sets out there, is it possible for some transition? Let's say having the having the government data sets, distilling the linked data vocabularies, transitioning the vocabularies into ontologies, putting those ontologies into an OOR, and then doing applications, making use of the ontologies on the OOR.
Well, then, Peter, are you saying that we need to go after the big data market space?
We definitely should go to the big data marketplace in some way and form.
Are there sufficient, sufficient number of people in that space that are interested in this use of semantic technologies and hence ontologies?
If not, then we'll create the need or create those things. We know ontology can contribute in that whole application, big data marketplace.
Well, we know that data contribute all over the place, but that doesn't guarantee or even suggest we're going to get the market share we would expect to be needing for a general uptake of OOR.
Maybe not, but definitely not if we don't put the effort in.
I made a suggestion that maybe one place to get a customer is some standards body like OASIS.
Yeah, that's one way to go at it.
Yeah, that's definitely one. But then, I mean, there are also a huge number of standards that were developed that are never used. If you look at standards, there's some that are very popular, and most standards are actually just shelved, mothballed.
Well, that's
like applications.
That's not a problem. But the point is that a repository could have a lot of standard ontologies from a standards body, and some of them. If all of take would be a couple of them that are popular, and suddenly OOR has, you know, customers.
So restate your proposition. What are you suggesting we do?
Well, it's very common for standards these days to be either expressed in or at least include ontologies.
I don't think it's very common. I see
UML diagrams. I see a lot of UML diagrams, and those can easily be converted into, I mean, can be considered an ontology. The point is if we can get some standards body to just say, you know, if your standard is going to include UML diagrams, then you have to put this into the ontology, into the repository. And suddenly we would have customers.
Yeah, that would be sort of the UML to ontology bridge. So far we were talking about, let's say, database schema to ontology, transition. Now we have a UML to ontology transition or translation to make. And actually, if you are talking about OASIS, OASIS started out as sort of the standard body for XML. So if there's some way, I mean, we could provide some translation, I mean, in the spirit of database schema and UML, some translation from XML to ontology, then again, I mean, we have a whole mass of content, a lot of which is housed as standards. At OASIS. Yes, that too.
Yeah, just OASIS is having its annual meeting in a couple of weeks. And I could approach them on this.
Yes, please. I mean I've been sort of meeting with Laurent Lichia. And of course, for those who look closely, OASIS has been a co-sponsor of the Ontology Summit for the last 3 years or so, and I sort of fairly regularly meet with Laurent Lichia, who's there. I don't know what it is, CEO, president, or whoever, to discuss how we could work together. So they are extremely receptive, but we, up to now, there's no sort of concrete path as to where we could sort of more seriously collaborate. So what you just suggested, Ken, is definitely useful. If you could, I mean, at their meeting, to come up with something concrete. But I guess it's almost, I mean, it'll have to start from XML. Even UML is not sort of a household thing at OASIS. I mean, it's a household thing at OMG. But at OASIS, the key word is XML.
Yeah, except XML is just a syntax for almost any string manipulation or actually string definition. It doesn't
semantics.
It is directly to ontology.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, we could certainly talk about having XML, but I think if we could offer them, a platform, a repository for XML, UML, versioning capability, viewing capability. I think all of those kinds of things are just perfect for a standards body, because that's basically what they do.
Yeah, but I think you have to be careful. I don't think that as OOR, we can go and try to convince people to use ontologies. I think what we have to do is identify the people who are already using ontologies but are finding barriers to using them because they don't have any substantial ones to kind of use, or they don't know where to find them. Those are the people that would benefit from OOR. The other class of users, the ones who you have to convince to use ontologies, I think that's kind of more the broader Ontolog forum that needs to be doing that job.
You're getting back to the use case questions, really.
Yeah, Michael, you have a good point, but if we sit back and wait until the world catches up on using ontologies, I think we would have missed a lot of opportunities. Maybe if it's not a pure OOR mandate, then maybe OOR could team up with Ontolog Forum or team up with OMG or team up with OASIS and do those things rather than sitting back and wait.
No, I agree. I mean, we can't necessarily wait for everyone to kind of fall into that second category of users, but we need to be very, we need to walk into this with eyes open, that first category of people, it's not a job of selling OOR. It's not a job of selling a repository. It's a job of selling applications of ontologies. That would have to be the first issue that would be need to be addressed. And then say, oh, and then by the way, with given these applications, the repository plays a key role. But the focus has to be on that task. I just want to be, you know, make sure we're all aware of that. That's all.
Yes, I mean, this is good, and then this is sort of prudent. So could you capture that statement in there as a reminder that we don't go off base?
Okay.
Yes, Michael, I think it's great that you remind us of this, and I think we should definitely, you know, make it clear on that, because that's an important part of our mission. But actually, my suggestion was far more modest.
Okay, sorry.
I wasn't trying to get anywhere near achieving what you're suggesting, which is, you know, far more valuable. I mean, no question about it. Far more important. I was looking for just getting a customer, just getting our foot in the door. You know what I mean? If we can at least establish that we have a customer, you know, we can start to build on that. So that was all I was suggesting. Okay.
I was just going to add the OMG does have an ontology group already, and plus there's a number of standards that are really focused on the logical model level, and there's starting to be an awareness of the value of ontology as a better way of capturing the business semantics. But because of the very technical community, when you actually then see an ontology, it's a bit of an either-or between something you would run up in an RDF application and is nice and simple and happens to have some semantics versus something that captures the formal business reality of things and is actually quite disorienting to the technical audience. So there is very much a struggle there, which I'm finding right at the moment. But having said that, there is an ontology SIG in the OMG who are looking at ontology work. So I think there's a whole conversation going on there at the moment.
Are they working on ontology work, or are they just working on OWL?
They're just working on OWL, apart from ourselves in the finance domain task force who are working on business semantics. And now that nobody was even looking at it while we had a business-facing presentation of it, they didn't even believe it was an ontology until it was in OWL. Now they're seeing it in OWL, they don't really like it because it's full of unfamiliar, legally grounded constructs and a certain amount of untidiness, some of which is reflective of the real world and some of which is just the way we're still working on some of the loose edges. But the technical people have kind of thrown their hands up in the air and gone, we're not really sure how to even use this thing. So that's a real struggle, you know, to get business semantics, business accuracy on business, you know, what is a legal entity, what is an organization, what is a business organization, and so on, is quite a culture shock.
That's the stuff that TC37 works on, the terminology groups.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's that people go, oh, well, let's deal with terminology, for which OMG has a standard called SDVR. And SDVR, instead of using OWL or anything like that at its base, kind of has its own ontology format along with its business rules and its terminology and so on. And it's second to none as far as implementing terminology thinking. But what people really want is something where the words match the meaning so they don't have to think about ontology. Otherwise, it's so unfamiliar that I'm actually really struggling to continue to justify it to them because the technical people are going, oh, well, we've learned about OWL as a syntax, but we don't know how to use this thing. It all looks a bit unfamiliar because in our database we have a term over here called legal entity and you've called it something else and you've put something else under legal entity and it's all very confusing. So that's the struggle we're at, ontology versus having something in OWL, and the recognition of the difference between the two is very much at the early stages.
But also it sounds like the role of ontology mapping, so the idea that the repository isn't just a collection of ontologies, but also articulates the relationships between them. So like you said, when somebody has a legal entity in one ontology and something else in the other ontology, and they say, what's going on here? I think that's when we step in and say, hey, look, here's how we can use OOR to help mediate the different semantics that people are using.
Yes, and not only that, but the work that I've been doing just in a few little corners at the moment on transaction semantics and so on, where we've been able to formally frame terms in one ontology and terms in another under a common set of lattices, pretty much along the lines that was described in the ISS project and John Sower's slides and so on. We've been doing all that work, and everybody says, oh yeah, that's very important, but it's not really for that technical community, and we're probably going to take that off the table at the OMG because it's simply too far into the future for them. They want to see something that you can actually put numbers into and turn the handle and get results from.
They're looking for a spreadsheet?
Yeah, or a UML model, or they're looking to be told that the data models they've got are actually implementable in OWL, and you can just, you know, use OWL as if it's another kind of data modeling syntax and really not try and pester people about the legal groundings of business meanings because it's too complicated. Of course, it's very simple to the business, but it's a bit unfamiliar to the technical folks, and we're really struggling with that now. So we may have to take that shared semantics aspect of our work off the table at the OMB.
That sounds like something that would be worth describing in a white paper.
In a what, sorry?
That sounds like something that would be worth describing in a white paper. The cognitive dissonance and some of the semantics behind the cognitive dissonance. If I understand you correctly.
Yep. Definitely.
Okay, if we want to finish up in 1 hour, then we have like 13, 14 minutes to go. I think that was good background discussion, but the key point is we want to reprioritize the list, or tweak our list. So I just pasted that on the chat. And given all that discussion, suggestions on shuffling, adding, deleting, points on that list now. As of now, we have like adopt the architecture, set up policy and process, initiate implementations, solicit content contribution, get funding.
The use cases aren't mentioned.
Yeah, so definitely we want use case. So suggest what maybe we now with a new item one.
Yeah, I think that should be
identified. Identify relevant use cases. Compelling and relevant use cases. Maybe?
Yes.
Okay, identify compelling and relevant use cases.
With a focus on demonstrating the use of an OOR. I've got that on my first comment at the top.
Focus on demonstrating the value of OR, how about?
Well, yes, but I think you ought to make sure that you get usage in there somewhere.
Right. Identify compelling and relevant use cases of OR with the focus on demonstrating the application and value of OR.
And possibly include Ken's notion of using an ontology to capture standards, development organization standards.
Okay, that would be sort of a subtask from here.
It would be a subtask, but it gives greater semantic precision.
Possibility to...
I wouldn't put that as a... as a top priority item, Michael's much more important. But Yeah, we should put that in there somewhere.
Yeah, I'm labeling it differently, but then we could reorder. So that's possibilities in standards, big data. What are the sort of key areas?
No, when you say key area, so within those domains, you like within domains or within like these other kind of broader applications?
Whatever. Let's just capture them.
Okay.
Okay, what else needs to be inserted before we sort of reshuffle order? At least none of the tasks are sort of done and could be retired. So
yeah, like my point earlier, I guess maybe is a variant or a follow up to point number four, right? So we have the content, initiative or drive or whatever, but so this says soliciting content from communities, engaging in ontology research development, etc. One thing I think we should do, like I said, is to get speak to, people who are doing the ontology mapping workshop, this ontology alignment evaluation initiative, and kind of look at what use cases would they like to see within, supported by OOR. So the idea being that they wouldn't be using their own, little test data suites or whatever that are sitting on their server, but to actually use real ontology that we've collected within different OOR instances. So it's not so much a content drive, but looking at these other people who are actually using ontologies, that kind of a drive within the ontology community.
So maybe restating that point to systematically engaging communities that would help advance the state of art or content contribution.
Yeah.
Systematically solicit.
And it's not just content contribution. I think it's also, use case contribution. And actually getting those communities to use OOR rather than building their own test suites.
So other communities to how about what I just this still needs to be tweaked.
Yeah, that sounds good, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and then maybe under there, then we could look at systematically publishing and presenting at conferences and workshops for those within those communities.
No, like I said, it's not publishing. It's so if you look at you know, this ontology alignment evaluation initiative, right? They'll have a workshop at ISWIC 2012. I mean, they have, you know, their test cases, because it's a competition for ontology mapping algorithms. And it looks like currently right now they just use use bioportal ontologies. But if we could somehow, you know, convince them, so engaging the people who are running that workshop, for example, in the short term here, to say, well, you know, we have some instances of the OOR which has other ontologies, you know, would they be interested in using those as test cases? Or another approach would be to take the test cases that they have and put them into OOR instances. So everything they're using for test cases is already there. Again, so then it becomes this resource that they're able to use kind of over the long term. So we become the repository for all of these different other initiatives.
Yes, which is what we set out to do.
Right. But the idea here is kind of focusing on those academic and, standards communities specifically, rather than waiting for them to come to us.
Yep. So maybe we should, reprioritize, is this 4 prime goes first, and then AA goes second, and then shift everything down. Does that look good?
Yeah. I don't know if it's any higher priority than any of these other items. It's something that I think would benefit us.
It's high, because again, I mean, we are on the verge of being irrelevant. If I take the devil's advocate position, people could totally not care whether there is or isn't an OOR. So we have to engage a lot better than we are now. So is the consensus to put this number 4 first, and then the AA, and then shift everything else down?
Okay.
Oh. All right.
Peter, this is Terry.
Yes.
You might want to put something in there about the distinction between the service of integrating ontologies and the technology that perhaps might be freely available to allow others to just have the software.
I think that is established sort of a while back. I mean, there is sort of different aspects.
I'm saying the use cases differ. There's the use case for having a centralized server that integrates ontologies for you, and for having a capability that you can use as an open system anywhere without relating back to the original or the master.
I believe, I mean, that's sort of probably part of the design, in that, I mean, the rudimentary thing is to have a repository per se that people can upload an ontology.
I understand, and I think that's where Todd was coming from when he talked about the word open, implying that rudimentary thing that anybody could go to and put their own ontology in there, was making it less attractive to people who need to be able to integrate ontologies but don't want to share them with the world.
So I guess what we need is to let people know that
that it's okay.
Those are both goals.
Right.
Yeah, we have a goal to integrate the world. We have another goal to allow people to integrate their own private worlds.
Yes, I mean, it's already documented somewhere, but I don't think it should go onto our task list unless, I mean, we have a task to specifically do that. I mean, advertise that we support private ontology repositories or something.
Well, you're looking at, you know, I'm looking at what you've got on the chat right now, systematically engage other communities to solicit content contributions and perhaps to solicit interest in an open source repository architecture that they could use.
It should the task should be express this as a use case. Add it to the other use cases.
Yeah, can we commit that to sort of the next level of detail when we do design the use cases, then we sort of flesh out those nuances and distinctions?
Yes, and that was what I suggested.
Yeah. Okay. Since we are past the first hour, one other thing that I think would be interesting to talk about is one of the things that I guess stop us from being a very regular project is that nobody is funded to do this. So, which means it's all volunteer work. We're not funded to do this, probably because we don't systematically go out and work on that. So among all the established quote-unquote tracks like metadata, architecture, API, and so on, maybe, possibly, we could regularly drum up the funding workshop and just take an hour and a half, maybe every month or a couple of months, and ask, I mean, how could we get funded to do what we want to do as a group? Of course, individually, people have day jobs, and the day jobs are funding some of that research, but nobody is funding this as a team. Is that something we should look at?
Yeah, I mean, that would be beneficial. I guess it's, I don't know if having a workshop achieves that, though.
It's one of the tasks. But
right, it, whether or not we can achieve that is at least we put focus on it. I mean, if regularly someone has to run a workshop on getting funding, then at least it's better than just relinquishing it to a sort of agenda item number 5, which we never reach in our regular meetings. Since, Ted, you have been sort of providing leadership on the funding issue, so give us your point of view. Would you sort of lead regularly every now and then at your option, maybe do a funding workshop?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually related to some of the other tasks. The key thing is to find a customer. You know, you have to get a particular domain where, you know, you can basically make a case for this in that domain. You're not going to get funding for just general infrastructure. We've pretty much established that. The funding agencies just won't do it.
That's exactly what this workshop will tease out.
I guess.
You know, and the one example of an ontology repository is BioPortal, and they are very focused on a particular domain.
Exactly.
So you could just see from that one example that is the way to go.
Yep. Yep.
So the other, another possibility is piggybacking on a, on another proposal. Like I said, that would, we would be contributing the repository, the content, for that overall project. Kind of, so we would play that role in a larger project, supplying that technology.
Well, that's, we've already done that. I think we've done that twice. And
oh, really?
To the extent that we've done anything on the OR, that's where the funding came from.
Oh, which projects were those?
Well, it was one of my projects, and I think we were also on a on some geospatial project.
Yeah, SOCOP's project got funded by NSF with an OOR component.
Oh, okay.
It's not exactly an OOR project as such, but I'm more looking at, I mean, the funding of the sort of OOR project, but of course within that workshop we can also discuss how members within OOR could team up among themselves and get funding, as in the case of, let's say, the SOCOP OOR. Or I mean, the collaborations outside. But my point is, as a task, if it is useful, then maybe elevated that to the level of architecture or metadata or software development, then we have this funding workshop at that level.
Yeah, I think that would work.
Okay, then I'll start a. So maybe Ken, you start thinking of this, reserving a date or something, and let's get that off the ground. Or if you want to get a sort of co-champion in that in this whole branch of thinking, that would be great too.
I can take care of it.
Okay.
I don't think it's necessary to have anyone else.
I think we had some very good discussion. Any maybe one last chance to go around if people have points to make that would add to this meeting's learnings.
Just one thing. I guess this is related to next week. I have not been able to get enough people in one topic together who are around at the same time. For, you know, next week you proposed the joint standards, whatchamacallit here?
Ontologies and standards.
Ontologies and standards. Cause I can't get the big players in common logic together. So it's just difficult. July is already very difficult for getting everyone's schedules. What I was thinking of maybe instead would be there are two SIGs within the Ontology Association, like one related to repositories and one related to standards harmonization. And like there will be a SIGs meeting at twice the week. I was wondering if we could make that sort of a kind of a general discussion prep meeting before that, before FOIS, related to those two SIGs.
Okay, so what do you foresee as an agenda for next Tuesday?
Just kind of a, this kind of falls into this I think the general title of the session, but, it's sort of, I guess, a planning kind of meeting. I mean, what do we want to accomplish in these two SIGs, which are very related to OR? What do we want to set out as the objectives for the coming year for these two SIGs? And just kind of do some of this prep before the actual meeting, particularly if there are people who won't be able to attend FOIS, to be able to contribute in this way.
Sounds good. I mean, it doesn't have to be sort of ontologies and standards session 3 or 4 or whatever number. This could be sort of an independent meeting of its own.
Well, like I said, I think there are two. There are these two SIGs, one on standards harmonization and one on repositories. And I think both of those, well, some of the repositories is what OR is about, but I think some of the discussion that we've had today shows that standards harmonization is also something that we, within OR, want to pay some attention to.
Yeah, I think that's good. That's great.
Okay.
So could you send me a title and an abstract, and if you have, are you still looking at speakers?
Well, this would be more of a wide open sort of thing at this point, because I say it's impossible to get speakers already for the summer.
Right. So you probably would toss out a few questions and then have people verbally respond and capture their inputs. Into the chat and things like that. I mean, that's effective. I mean, it has proven to be a fairly effective process.
And I'll send out the call and the meeting description to OR, Ontolog Forum, and IAOA members.
Yeah, sounds good. And if you toss me some of that, I can start preparing a page, and then you can point people to the page as well. Or, I mean, you could leave that as a sort of continuing thing that you add more details as you go on.
Yeah. Well, if you create the page, then I'll populate it.
Right. But so I can only create the page when you give me a title. Or do you want me to create the skeleton and then you will...
No. I'll send you a title.
All right.
I'll send you a title.
Yeah. All right. Great. Sounds good.
Okay.
So, that's it then. After next Tuesday, we will stop for 2 weeks, and then right after that, then there will be the monthly meeting again. So I will clean up the discussion, reshuffle the priority list, and then at our next team meeting, we would review and make sure I got it right from everybody. Okay, that's it. Thanks. Great discussion.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks. Oh, bye-bye, Peter.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.